Good morning, and welcome to what looks to be an absolutely fascinating session. I'm Dee Dias, I'm Director of the Centre for the Study of Christianity and Culture at the University of York, and it's a real pleasure to be chairing this session. I know at least a couple of the contributors very well, and from what I've heard, I'm really looking forward to the other contributions too. I suggest that we have four 20-minute presentations, and I suggest that at the end of each one, we have 3-4 minutes in which we ask specific questions, lest we forget them, and that will then lead us some time at the end to have a more general discussion, when obviously you're welcome to raise questions for particular speakers, but it may be that by that point we have themes which are emerging and topics which relate to one another, and it would be useful to have heard everybody by that point. So I'm going to begin by introducing John Bland. John's been a family doctor in a Warwickshire mining village for 50 years. He's chair of the Warwickshire Local History Society, and he's currently engaged in an MA at the University of Leicester, where his dissertation is on the impact of the arrival of a coal mine on a small village. And he's going to speak to us this morning about the work that they have been doing with the Warwickshire Local History Society. John.
Thank you very much. I'm surprised that we've got an audience at this time of morning. You're in Warwickshire, this side of the road. The other side of the road's Coventry, which has been a little enclave of Warwickshire for the last 900 years or something. It's, every time it's been pushed into Warwickshire, it's protested. We were the third biggest county, I think, and we're now one of the smallest because various urban areas have moved off or thieved bits, like Birmingham, Coventry, Solihull, and it's difficult to keep track of the documents which are scattered all over the place and the history of the place, and to keep an organised system going. Now, the county has two societies. Originally it had the Dugdale Society, named after our county historian, the William Dugdale from the Stuart period. Still goes on publishing erudite works that wouldn't otherwise get published. The president is still Sir William Dugdale. And then about nearly 50 years ago, it was realised that there needed to be some tying together in the county. These thoughts came out of this place when it was built under Dr. Joan Lane, and some academics from here and in the county and interested amateurs pulled themselves together as a society to engage everybody. And I was pleased to see that the prof had used that term in the documents that you've had, because it's what we do. The objects of our society are to promote the advancement of public education in the history of Warwickshire, and to cooperate with bodies having similar interests, and to demonstrate ways of studying local history by sponsoring lectures and discussion and arranging investigations and visits. And most of this we've done. We also do publications, one called Warwickshire History, which is on the stand downstairs, which seems to regularly get awards from BLAH for articles that Dr. Bob Bierman pulls together in it. So we've tried to provide a lead. We have membership of libraries, universities, and various outfits in the area. Over the years, we've carried out the objects more or less as set out by Joan Lane. But people have been out lecturing. We've endeavoured to help with things. But then it was realised that we'd rather slip back on our role of pulling everything together. So last year we pulled together a conference. We located, I think it was 106 societies in the in the county. In the old historic county, we cover Birmingham and Solihull and so on as well, even though they've chosen to disappear off on their own. And I actually got moved into Solihull when I was chairman of Warwickshire County Council, which is the sort of disorganisation that occurs. And we got 70 people together in the Quaker Meeting House at Warwick from 50 societies to be addressed by the British Association of Local History and Professor Cumin, who gave the sort of keynote address to tell us all what we ought to be doing. And they divided into seven groups to work out what the societies wanted. Now, I've photocopied these from the minutes because it's easier than just sticking it up on the board, I think, as to what people thought they wanted. Some of them were pie in the sky. A lot of them were expensive. In this day and age, a lot of them involved the internet. So I brought my daughter-in-law Jackie along, who's a professional IT manager and does the work on our net for us. She points out that a lot of the society are old fogies who've not able to do the work on the net, but the youngsters are all too busy doing the day job. And there is a lot of work involved in it. So, what have we done since last May? We've given all the societies in the county a chance to become sort of members of our society for the payment of £12, which helps towards the cost of maintaining a network, and it enables their members to come to our meetings if they want. That seems to be quite popular. I hope that we don't outgrow the Quaker Meeting House in Warwick. At the moment, the balcony is groaning with weight of local historians, but it's produced some interesting dialogue. We've produced a list of societies that's on the net, but we're advised that not to put phone numbers because there are problems there under the Data Protection Act, but the web actually connects any contact made with our society to the local society's website. Jackie will tell you about that. The local societies can advertise their events, provided they come in a web-friendly way and in good time. We've organised another event for November. A lot of people said they were worried about copyright, so we've got the guru from BALH coming to talk about copyright, Tim Hadfield, and Professor Snell from Leicester is going to do the keynote address. We seem to have had links with Leicester over the years. Our secretary was brother of one prof. Professor Dyer is a member of the society, and we're working on Professor Snell at the moment. Several members of the society have done degrees and PhDs and things in Leicester, so there's quite a link. But maybe we should build up our links with Warwick again, Professor. So we've got another meeting to pull everybody together, to network, to have lunch, and to discharge this duty to tell them all about copyright. For many years, the deputy at the record office has collected details of all publications on Warwickshire, which are published every 2 months in Warwickshire History. He's pulled all those together and put them online so that anyone from any of the local societies researching things can look up what's been written, what's available, which is a sort of shortcut. We seem to find that we're dealing with queries from the public. This has been a problem to our secretaries over the years, because people doing a family history will send us an email saying, what do you know about Aunt Flossie that lived at 22 Albion Street, Lymington Spa in 1820? Well, of course, most of us haven't got a clue, but we're now able to put it out to the appropriate society. And I mean, one of the first ones that came was about a small hotel in Kenilworth called Australia House, a query from Australia. Now, one of the members of the society knew all about this. He remembers it when he was a boy, and it was handed to him to reply to Australia and satisfy the customer. I had a phone call from the archivist of the British Civil Engineers asking me about a water tower in a village that I worked in, which was the first reinforced concrete ever used in the country, and they were trying to trace this up. They tried the parish council, who gave them details of the chimney of an Elizabethan manor house which had burned down, which wasn't an awful lot of help to them. But I knew an old boy who lived in that area, so I rang him up and said, oh yes, it was there, I used to play in it as a child. You know, there were rusty metal doors swinging, and they pumped the water from the coal mines in on Eaton out to Arley, and was stored in a reservoir and then pumped into this tower. It's gone now, but it's now resplendent in a publication of the Society of Civil Engineers. So that's the sort of thing that, that goes on. There's a certain amount of cost to all this, network fees and time. The time is the main problem, I think, because it takes a long time to constantly update a website, and there's no point in having one unless you update it regularly. So I think it's probably a point to ask Jackie, who knows what she's talking about, to tell us all about what you've done and how you've done it. Okay? And then I'll finish off.
Okay, well, I've got to apologise now. I'm hugely unprepared for this, so I'm really just going to be standing and talking more about what we've done as part of the umbrella more than anything else. And it seems to me some of the questions that people were asking is a lot of it was to do with research, and an awful lot of it was to do with, can we have a website that does everything for us? The point really that John was just making is that the answer is yes, you can, but you need quite a lot of money, and you also need quite a lot of time, of which, unfortunately, I have neither. And a lot of our members either have a lot of time and no money, or a lot of money and have absolutely no idea how to develop a website or do anything like that anyway, so they can't actually help us. So what we're doing at the moment, what we've done is to utilise, quite a lot of companies have found that there are a lot of people out there who know what they want to say but have no experience with websites. So they've created a template that we can basically add our content onto that template. So literally that's what we have. It's a series of pages that we write words on. And that's the best way I can describe a website that we currently have. It's cheap, it's cheerful, and only requires a small amount of time. It's based entirely on the internet, so everybody in the Warwick Local History Society, should they so choose, can log in and update the information. So hopefully that means that essentially our information is updated more regularly than it was. I'm still not saying it's perfect, not by any stretch of the imagination, but we have tried. So as I say, we've put as many links to as many organisations' other websites as we can. There is just a big long list of societies in the county listed on one of our pages. Some of the lists, actually, if you click on the name, take you to the website. If there isn't a website, it just lists the name. It doesn't do anything more than that.
Some of the other pieces of information that I just wanted to pass on, I don't know if it's of any use to anybody, we have also discovered that as part of our increasing use of computers, technology, the internet, we have found that holding files in a central place so that everybody on the committee and the organisation can actually get at a file. So, for example, just this presentation that I've done, to be able to share that with everybody in the committee, we've started to use a facility called Dropbox. Basically what that is I'm going to see some nodding is going on as we're going through, is a piece of software you install on your computer. You have a login to Dropbox's website on the net, and what it does is it shares the information with whomsoever you choose to say, share this folder. So we can put all of our information in a folder and it automatically transfers it to everybody else in the organisation. The plus side of that is obviously we've now got one document that can be shared with everybody. Nobody has to say, have you got that? Can you email it to me? It also means that we have some kind of resilience built in, because the copies are being stored on everybody's individual computers. We have at least 10 copies of the same thing knocking around. So should something terrible happen at somebody's house, it's all shared to everybody else, so we haven't lost anything. I think that's really all I wanted to say. There's lots more that you can do with the internet. As I say, the biggest problem that we have is time and money, and everybody seems to be quite short of that. What we are hoping is that our bid with Warwick County Record Office is to provide, hopefully, some kind of permanent internet presence for local history societies. But as I say, that's a bid with the lottery, Neville. Okay, so with the lottery funds, so entirely dependent on whether they see fit to give us a donation, as it were.
Did you want to bring to show your website?
If I had internet access,
yes,
that would
do.
Be fantastic.
You
do. Excellent.
Well, basically, I hope the Prof thinks we've been trying to engage. I feel strongly about the importance of local history. It's really up to the lay people in the community to collect artefacts, family history, history of buildings, industrial archaeology and old pictures. I've spent a lifetime furtling in old ladies' drawers, best part of 50 years, for looking for images and pictures. On a visit to the record office, I found they've got great fat folders of pictures of South Warwickshire and nothing of the industrial communities in the north. I said, well, I see more than you've got every day when I'm doing house calls. So I started copying, clicking the camera twice so that one copy went to Warwick. I think I've got something like 10,000 pictures now. I even had to go at a former vice-chancellor at a dinner the other day. He said, oh yes, I've got pictures of the old farmhouse that the university was built on. But then he emailed me to say his wife had tidied them all up and sent them vaguely to the university somewhere. I was going to copy them. But a lot of pictures get lost if you don't grab them there and then. A lovely collection came to me from a miners' strike in 1921. I went to see the old lady when I found where they were coming from and to copy them, and she'd got the decorators in. So I said, well, I'll come back in a couple of weeks when they're gone. She was dead in a couple of weeks, and the family thought the value was in the house, so they burned everything at the end of the garden. And then they realised the photographs were probably worth something, and I got copies, so they accused me of pinching their mother's photographs. at that point, it had been a helper who'd brought them to me. So that's what happens if you don't collect stuff. I think the professionals need to assist the lay members with advice, methods, sources, and encouraging them to be systematic without being patronising. That can be off-putting to someone who is struggling to understand the discipline if someone thinks they're so much better and they're patronising. I think teamwork is important for the benefit of both sides. And as Jackie said, we're currently working on a larger network with the Record Office, if we can get some sort of grant to enable people to put their bits on when they've researched their house and log it the other way on, as well as seeing what other people are doing. So really what we're trying to do is to, as the sort of county-wide society, is to make things easier for research in our county. Now, I don't know if you want to explain this, we've about run out of our time, haven't we? One minute. If you can explain the net, Jackie.
Okay. So this particular website is those pictures that are at the top, obviously our logo's there. Pictures in the top right are actually provided with the site provision. They're nothing to do with us. They just provide a series of pages that allow us to put information on. So we have our home here with what's going on, and hugely embarrassingly, it's out of date, never mind. So we put a few pictures on. What we've tried to do here as well is to point out to people that as a society, we don't have any archive material. It's all at the Warwick County Record Office. But as John was saying, it is extraordinary how many people ring and email and send letters to say exactly that. Auntie Flossie was born in 1940 and she lived here. Have you got any more information? And I just sometimes think, well, if we did, we don't have anywhere to put it.
That's actually me playing the Carillion at Bourneville on a visit, because the Carillionist didn't show up, so I bashed out, "Come ye thankful people, come," all over Bourneville.
People eating their chocolate at the same time.
I didn't realise that was there.
Okay, we also have a bibliography. That was one of the questions that was asked of everything that's ever been published from 2000 to 2010 in the way of publications for local history. As I say,
Dr. Nat Alcock takes up half of it.
Yeah, he does, but busy man. So as I say, this information is coming along, it is getting there. It just, as I say, is quite complicated and difficult for people to spend the time doing. And if I'm really honest, that's very dull to produce as well, and to make sure it's right and you've got all your typing correct is difficult. So as I say, hopefully having broken the back of it and got to 2010, it'll be much easier to add a year at a time after that. What else was on there? Really just gives the events of the society. There is, if I can get down here, a sheet that shows the events that are happening in the rest of the county. Now, we're entirely reliant on people sending us emails and messages to say that this is happening on this date. Could you put it into your county events calendar? Obviously, if people don't send us the information, we can't put it in. We also can't put stuff in if you give us only 2 weeks' notice. It does take a little bit of time. What we're doing with this sheet at the minute is updating it about every 2 or 3 months. So if you've got a programme of information, let us know well in advance. It's always very helpful.
For example, Kyneton have got someone coming from Birmingham to talk about the Staffordshire hoard. That will cause a certain amount of interest in the county and will overload their facilities, I expect.
Yeah, probably. But,
that's the sort of thing that's going on. So, right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to us.
Very much. I think that's given us a very good start, because it both demonstrates, though you haven't been sort of saying it explicitly, what a wealth of information rests at this level, but also the challenge of making that information available to multiple audiences, just general inquirers, local historians, academics and others, because it's very important that we can all engage with this and just know what's out there. So can we have a couple of minutes, if you've got specific questions for John and Jackie about what they've been saying, or ideas, suggestions? Anybody? Could I just ask a question about the bibliography? Like you say, it is always going to be quite dull and difficult to make it interesting.
Yeah.
But is it going to be at all possible to be able to take people to link those documents so that you can actually see them online? Is it, because it doesn't say on that list how you can get hold of them.
Very good point, actually. It's taken 18 months just to get the list, and I don't think we've actually given any thought to whether it would link to various places. The answer is yes, of course, anything's possible. The practicalities of that, it's something that we've not discussed, is publishing online, that sort of information. Most of our stuff is still hard copy, it's not anything else, so the link would take you to potentially somewhere like Amazon, where they would show you maybe the front page. So I'm not entirely sure that that's a helpful thing, but by all means, if your name's on that list on the bibliography and you want to send me an email with the link, that can be done, that's not a problem. But for us to actively go through and try and work out where everything resides is a huge task.
Could be done with enough money, couldn't it? But most of those will be in the County Record Office, because Richard Chamberlain Brothers was the deputy archivist, and he collects all this stuff together every year, and he's still doing it even though he's retired, and produces his couple of pages for Warwickshire History every time. So that's another source, but at least lets people know where to look, and they can inquire in libraries and things. A lot of the stuff in reorganisation within the county has been moved up to Nuneaton in the north, which is causing a lot of aggro down in the south of the county. Of course, they've always just strolled along to the library. Now they've got to go to Nuneaton. They've never been there. But of course, for years, Nuneaton have been moaning they had to go to Warwick to look at the stuff. But the stuff is available in the record office, I think.
How do you do the interlinking with all the other websites? I think, you know, this is a fantastic resource now for Warwickshire. Are you on every, you know, local history website? Is there a link to you on every local history website? I think we have one to you, but for instance, if you come, you know, onto my parish, I think that might be helping. Or I think there's just increasingly so much good stuff out there, and it's not always easy,
to
interlink that you really know what's going on in the other places. Are you actively trying to get your links onto people's pages?
Only by request. Mm. I haven't gone to the trouble of going to every site and checking that there's a link there, because I think, again, that would be something that would just be too time consuming. I'm kind of working on people's word more than anything else, that if our link is, or that the link to their site is on ours, that they have reciprocated the same arrangement. I have had people message me to say, you've got it wrong, it's going to the wrong place.
I mean, the fact that you come up on Google straight away suggests you must be on quite a few, you know, other pages to make it, as it were, to the top of the list there.
I think probably we're the only site that actually says Warwickshire History of any kind. You know, if you put Warwickshire History, we do come to the top through no fault of our own. There's, I don't think, anybody else that actually has the same kind of words on their side.
Jackie, of course, has a full-time job, two children and four chickens to look after, which, of course, limits the amount of time she can spend. And therein lies the nub of the problem, doesn't it? Hopefully someone around the table's got a solution.
Well, I'm hoping, actually, that my children, my eldest is now 14, I'm going to give him another year before indoctrinating him on what he needs to be able to do, and he can do all the work for me after that, hopefully.
Thank you very much. I think some of these issues are probably going to come up in our discussion later on. Meanwhile, thank you very much to John and Jackie, especially John, for the, I now have a completely new idea of local history, that the definition is birthing an old lady's drawers. Carry that one with me and treasure it. So thank you very much.
You're getting struck off by the GMC.